Have y'all noticed it's an election year? Are you tired of it already? Yes. Hey, listen, our governor's going to be running for vice president this year. Isn't that something? Mike Pence. I had the privilege of meeting him, by the way. In fact, I have a picture sitting at his desk with my feet up on his desk. And it was pretty cool. I did a wedding in the rotunda, and he was going home one afternoon. We were there for rehearsal. And I went over and met him and talked to him a few minutes. And then his right-hand man said, come on in his office. Let me show you around. He said, now you can get a picture up here by the fireplace or you can get one behind his desk. I said, I want one behind the desk. So I gave him my iPhone. So I have this picture of me leaned back in the governor's chair with my feet up on his desk. But that's pretty cool. You know, I'm from Georgia, so I've had two instances now. Jimmy Carter was president, and now Mike Pence, vice president. So two places I've lived, Joyce and I have lived, they're up there in the high cotton, as you would say it. But you have noticed this in election year. You know what? The thing about that is this. I've entitled this sermon Ballot Box because whether we, maybe you've never looked at it this way is the way I'll say it. Every day we vote. Every day we go to the ballot box, and we either vote to honor God or to honor man. And usually that man is us, that person. So every day that we live, we may even have more than one instance where we are voting whether to honor God or honor man. Now, last week, and don't be upset that you weren't here. I'm upset that you weren't here, so you can be here this week and next week, okay? But we talked about Samuel. Samuel was a prophet and a judge in Israel. He was 12 years old. His mother gave him to God before he was conceived. When you read in 1 Samuel 7:15, it simply says, Samuel continued as judge over Israel all the days of his life. His mama gave him to the Lord before he was born, and he served the Lord all of his life. And it's interesting that he does that because we come to chapter 8 in 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles, you might want to open them there. But the elders of Israel, the elders of the people, undoubtedly they had a private meeting. And so they come to speak to Samuel, and they say this to him. Samuel, you are old. Now, that hurts his feelings, you know. You are old. We who are a little bit senior in our lives, we don't like for people to say you're getting old, do we? Now, Frank and I were talking before, and I have this crick in my neck since Thursday night, but we got this thing and we were putting it together. So what I did when we got it all blown up, I just ran up to it, and I just jumped up in it like this. And Frank said, that's when you hurt your neck. I said, Frank, I didn't hurt my neck doing that. He said, yeah, but you know, when you're 70. I said, I'm not 70, number one. So what we were talking about is that I would come up and stand here, and then we would cut, and then I would have a stand-in or a stunt double. You've ever seen those? And then that person would jump up. Here's what we're talking about today. Samuel was a faithful follower and teacher in Israel of God. But there were times, and there's times in our lives when we put ourselves on the throne. And this whole sermon's about us voting to honor God or honor man. So the elders had this private meeting. They come to Samuel. Say, Samuel, you're old, and your boys didn't do a good job. He had appointed two of his sons to be leaders in Israel, and they didn't do a good job. The guys even say, you know, your sons dishonor you, and they dishonor God and God's ways, and yet here you are, you're an old man, your sons didn't follow you. And so here's their solution. We want a king. We desire a king over Israel. Samuel's response to this, the Bible tells us in those early verses, the Bible says that Samuel was displeased to hear this. But then he does what we maybe don't do every time we're confronted with something that displeases us or God. Samuel prayed. He talked to God about it. In other words, in his mind, he said, these people want a king. I don't think it's a good idea. So I'm going to talk to God about it and see what he thinks. See what he says. Now, here's what God answers him. Listen in verse 7 of chapter 8. Listen to all the people. Listen to what all the people are saying to you. It is not that they have rejected you, but they have rejected me as their king. See, God's saying, Samuel, don't take any offense at what they're saying, because they're really not rejecting you. They're rejecting me as their king. And I think that's the crux of the whole matter. In fact, this verse can build a foundation for everything that we're going to say in the next weeks about kings and kingdoms. We are to honor God at all times. But what's new with Israel? Since they left Egypt, they have been rebellious against God. Since God had given them everything they had, He had driven out the people in the promised land and handed to them. They were His favored people. And from Egypt to now, they've just done the same thing. They're faithful, they're unfaithful, they're rebellious, they repent, they come back. It's just this cycle all over again. We've talked about it before. But God says, listen to them, but warn them in verse 9. Now, what is He warning them against? In verse 11, we find out what He's warning them against. Listen to this. Let's start in 10. Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. And he said, this is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and he will make them serve with his chariots and horses, and they will run in front of his chariots. If you have a king like all the other nations, he's going to put your sons on the front lines of battle. They're going to be the ones that get it first, in other words. So keep that in mind. It says, he will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. In other words, the king and his government are going to take everything that you have. You won't own anything. He will, in verse 15, take a tenth of your grain and your vineyard and your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He's going to take your livestock. He will take a tenth of your flocks and your selves will become his slaves. When that day comes, it's going to be trouble, basically. So God's saying, listen to the people, but give them this warning. And I've come up with this phrase, and I want to show it to you, and I want you to think about it. The warning is this. Free will, which God created us with free will, we always have a choice of who we honor, whether it be God or ourselves. Okay? We always have a choice. We have a free will choice. Free will without God's will is my will. Free will without God's will is my will. In other words, I will trade honoring God to honoring myself if I don't stay within God's will. How many of you maybe lit a few firecrackers or fireworks in the last month? I know a lot of people did. Oh, we did. I've been doing fireworks since I was a little kid. But you know what? I've had firecrackers to blow up in my hand. There's a warning on all of those fireworks. What is that warning? Don't hold this in your hand and light it. The warning's there, but we ignore the warning. And Israel is going to ignore all that God has said. In other words, we want a king like all the other nations, no matter what you say. And God tells them, well, you're going to become a slave to that king. Let's do something fun. Y'all are the smallest group, okay? So y'all are the little voice. Y'all got a cool part, by the way. From here over to here, I want all of y'all to say at one time together, we want a king.
We want a king.
Ah, you can do better than that. Let me hear it.
We want a king.
Now over here, you're going to say just like this, you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry. Now do it again. Now, see, because it was Samuel and God saying, you can have a king, but you'll be sorry. And that's the warning that God was giving to Israel. You see, I remember those junior high and high school days when you would go to your parents and say, I just got to go do this. Let me do this. Let me do this. You do this, kids? I got to do this. Parents say, no, you can't do that. Yes, but everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is going to this party. Everybody else is going to do this. And what are we trying to say to our kids? If you go, you'll be sorry. And we're just trying to keep you away from being sorry about something. But that's the way we are. In verse 21 of that chapter 8, they say this, the Israelites, we want a king to lead us, we want a king to go before us, and we want a king that will fight for us. What do you think God's expression is right now when he hears this? Look, I sent the plagues and got you out of slavery in Egypt. I fed you all the way to the promised land. I fought for you. I went before you with a cloud and a column of fire. You are my treasured people. Out of all the people on the earth, I chose you. And now you're saying you want a king to lead you, to go before you and to fight for you. What have I been doing all this time? See, we need to think that way when we think about our relationship to God. God is always there for us. You get in trouble, you get to hurting over something, and we get to walking away from God, trying to go some other direction rather than going to Him. And it doesn't work. Here's what God tells them in verse 18. He says, when that day comes, what day? You'll be sorry that you have a king. He says, when that day comes, you will cry out for relief from the king you have chosen. And the Lord will not answer you in that day. That is strong words from the Lord. You go ahead and have your king, but there's going to come a day when you cry out to me because of that king, and I will not be there for you. Wow. See, the Bible all through it says if you will honor God, He will bless you. It is a principle all through Scripture. Honor God, be blessed. Honor God, be blessed. We honor self, or we honor the world. We honor all the junk in the world. And we expect God to continue to bless us. He says, I will not be there for you. I know the Israelites are glad God relented on that a little bit. Because He is there for them. He doesn't just wash His hands of them. In 21, Samuel prays again. He goes back to God and he says, God, no matter what we've told them to warn them, I've told them what you said, that you won't be there for them if they choose this king. He says, they still want to have a king. And God says this, you listen to them, Samuel, and you give them a king. And here's the bottom line. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. Transitions in life are very difficult. I remember when I was 14, I grew up in a little small town, and I grew up around all my cousins. I grew up around, went to school when I was 5 years old, started first grade, all the way through beginning to go in the ninth grade, been with those people the whole time. Dad comes in one day and says, look, the construction work is just, it's just dried up around Savannah. He said, we're moving. Now, wow. I got angry. I got upset. I didn't want to leave my comfortable surroundings. The people that I hung out with every day and hunted and fished with and played on the playground and did baseball with, I did not want to leave. It was a tough transition. You remember from elementary school to junior high and then from junior high to high school? I always noticed when school started back and I was like a sophomore, and I'd look back at those freshmen getting off the bus at high school and they looked like a deer in the headlights. What am I doing with all these bigger people than they've been here? And it's really a hard transition for a lot of kids. What about a new job? It's tough to make that transition. The death of a spouse, death of a loved one. We buried Norma back in May. Her niece comes up to me after the sermon at the funeral home. Misty came up and she said, do you have another Bible? I would love a Bible. I said, no, I don't have another one with me. So I gave her my preaching Bible that I've preached with for years. She came to early service this morning to bring it back to me, and we baptized her. And just say this, she's been clean since the funeral. You see, transition is tough. But good can come out of a transition. I've already mentioned old age, but that's another one, isn't it? My goodness, my golfing buddy, he's a little bit older than I am. But we haven't played golf together in a long time, but one day we were out golfing, and he reached over to get his ball out of the hole, and he said, ugh. So I walked over, and I reached, ugh. He said, Webby, that's a sign we are getting old. Every time you bend over, you grunt. Y'all doing that now, some of you? Uh-huh. Old age is tough. Listen, it's a transition that none of us like. Maybe a new church. You might be here this morning, you're looking for a church family. That's not easy. I always tell folks, just come in and take a deep breath and relax. When it gets time, if this is a church for you, you'll place your membership. You'll be a part of it. God will move you to do what He wants you to do. Now, don't be stubborn when He starts giving you the signs. When the doors start to open and you get comfortable. God will make that clear to you. Here's the thing. Change isn't easy for anybody. Samuel now has been faithful to God for over 20 years of service. Israel's in transition from judges to kings. In fact, here's the thing. Israel's going to end up with 41 kings. Only 11 of those were faithful to God at all. 7 of the 11 had forgotten God at the end of their reign. You see, Israel went into spiritual rebellion under the kings. They went into captivity. And they were bowing down to the captor's will. And God told them, says, you'll be sorry. I'll give you what you want, but you will be sorry. See, free will without God's will is my will. Free will without God's will is my will. So I have to be guided by God's will. Aesop's Fables. Very interesting stories with a real good message. There was this lake full of frogs. And they had it made. They had everything they wanted to eat. They could splash around and do whatever they wanted to. There was no problem in that lake for the frogs. They got bored one day. They said to the Creator, we would like a king. somebody to come down to our lake and take care of us and lead us and guide us. So out of the heavens came this object and hit in the water, just splash. The frogs, when they saw it splash, they ran for cover. They were under the lily pads. They were looking out from behind the bushes, wondering what in the world this was. They got a little more comfortable with that thing that fell out of the sky. And they went over and they started getting on it, and they discovered it was just an old piece of wood. So pretty soon they were so comfortable with that piece of wood, they were hopping all over it, jumping out, swimming, and pretty soon they were bored with their new king. The new king was worthless. So they prayed to the Creator again, "Oh, Creator, send us a king. We want another king." When that king came, it was absolutely too late. God gave them what they wished for. And with those flapping wings, the storks started to eat the frogs. One by one. And pretty soon the king stork had emptied the lake of the frogs. See, Aesop's fables tells us, be careful what you ask for. And that's what God's trying to get across to Israel. Be careful what you ask for. I love what Benjamin Franklin wrote. If a man could have half his wishes, he would double his troubles. If a man had half his wishes, he would double his troubles. Think about it. That is so deep. That is so true. It works every time. Israel wanted God. They didn't want God. They rejected God for their own will. We want a king. But see, they wanted everything that was against God. They wanted the idolatrous nations around them. We want a king like all the other nations. They wanted all of immorality that was going around them without God's will. They wanted all of these things that were against God. And I've already said it, but God had run all those things away from Israel because they were His favored people. God pushed everything out that might tempt them to be more worldly. And every time God would push that out, the Israelites would open the back door and let them in. Sounds kind of like us, doesn't it? Sounds kind of like us. But they wanted to be like everybody else. My prayer is that you never want to be like everybody else, particularly if everybody else is doing the ungodly stuff. Could this be you? Could this be me? When you think about the ballot box, see, our situation is a little bit different. Israel wanted a king to come in and take care of them. Our situation is different because what we want, we want to be king. And so we put ourselves on the throne. Not only do we put ourselves on the throne, we get real comfortable up here. And we love it because we're in charge. Hey, go get me a glass of water. Don't put anything on me that I don't want to deal with. I'm the king. I look pretty ridiculous up here, don't I? You know what? When free will without God's will becomes my will, I'm pretty ridiculous. The ballot box. We vote every day. Maybe more than once. Israel wanted a king, and we want to be king. It's a simple message. It's just asking that we honor God with our lives.